Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place where everything related to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy, and today I bring another special guest. His name is Colin Raha. We actually met in Vegas a couple of weeks back. We had a ton of fun. And on top of that, I got to, you know, really learn about the specialty of Colin. He's actually everything around product launch, which we know product launch is a topic that is always super interesting and also super important because we know how tough the Amazon game is getting. And if you really learn how to master a product launch, like that's like 70% of the race pretty much won there. So Colin, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming, my friend. How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me. I don't think we talk anything about business on that.
But I read your mind.
Yeah, we know that, but we built it like an amazing relationship. We had like we talk a lot about different things, but we never had a conversation about nothing about business actually. But
But to be honest with you, I've been actually following a lot of your posts in social media and everything for a while. So nice. I know your game, bro. So that's why when I combine that with the fact of meeting you as a human being and having a ton of fun, that thing was the completion of the
whole thing. I go to the conferences to make amazing relationship, build a relationship there. We don't ever talk about, so the best thing is like in our community, in the Amazon community, we don't like go on and talk, how do you launch product? Like, what do you do actually? How many SKUs you have? What is the BSR? So we don't talk about that. We build an amazing relationship, but once we build a relationship, we are like, we be there for each other anytime we want, like how we connected again after that. That's what it's all about. Yeah, but definitely, man. Thanks for having me here. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And that's what I love, to be honest, about the Amazon community. We're very close, actually. Some people, you know, I've been talking with them for ages now on Facebook or LinkedIn, and then we met in person and it feels like we're bros now. And that's sometimes a connection you don't even get with people that you hang out every single day. So it's crazy. I think that's the beauty of what happens when, you know, people share passion and kind of interest for the same things, you know.
So you know, really the fact actually why it is, it's basically we run a very lonely drive, actually. The entrepreneurship is tough, especially with Amazon. It's like before I found all the communities and all the things, I felt super lonely. I need to check the sales and everything, it's like super lonely drive. Once we found like-minded peoples and connect with them, we found like inner child comes out of it automatically. Like, hey, what the heck? Where were you so long in my life, actually? That's all it's like, right? Yeah.
That's actually a good analogy. It's when you are in school and you play this video game back home and then you go back to the school and you meet during the break with friends actually playing the same game. It's like that chemistry is really, it gets built.
Unbreakable, for sure. Yeah.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about you, bro, because you have a very successful journey as well as a seller, seven-figure seller. So, you know, I'm sure you went through a lot of obstacles to get there. And I'm sure you have a lot of things that you also are going to share with us that are the foundation about basically what made you, you know, really specialize when it comes to product launch. But let's talk about, you know, what actually brought you for the first time into this space? Because I'm sure there's some story there, like, you know, saw the FBA somewhere and everything started. So tell me a little bit about that.
I'll try to keep it short, actually, but because it's a crazy story. So I was working in as a consultant. So when I come to this country with a lot of dreams, I came to this country with the minus $5,000. That's all I have in my pocket, minus $5,000 with the debt, right? And I worked as a software developer and I changed the job, multiple jobs, actually, between the job to job. And I was like making from $40,000 to I was making 150 grand, actually, a year. So it was happened over the 3 years period of time. So one time I was working in a consulting role. I was going out with my ex, actually. I got a call in a Thanksgiving day. Like, I got fired. Bro, that was like in November that happened. I couldn't find a job December, January, February, March. And I was like, yo, trust me. I have a girlfriend, and I have like a, at the time I have a girlfriend. I bought a dream car, which is like, I never thought that I'm going to have a Mustang in my life. I bought my dream car, which is like cost $1,500. I didn't even thought about it. And, you know, and it's crazy. So, and then I found an amazing job after that. Like, and at that point, what I felt is like a super painful moment, which is like, I don't ever want to feel that pain ever in my life, actually, which is like, am I going to be a man in my life, actually, a man who can able to be a better provider, and also a person who's like a pride of doing what I like to do, and a pride of like earning and then supporting things, actually. And I, that was broken down completely. It was hit by so much of fear, so much of hatred, that what am I did all this for, actually? And I couldn't find a job actually right now. So that time, and I decided that, okay, I don't ever want to feel this anymore in my life. Look at the coincidence. Like, my godfather gave me a Rich Dad Poor Dad book and asked me to read it. So once I read it and I follow everything, fascinated about everything what he's talking about. So I went and then follow him. And then one time he was introducing the Matt Amazing Seller, actually. So yes. I was super stringy guy. Like, I don't pay penny for any fucking shit, actually. Like, I don't want to do that one, right? So I was like, no, I'm not going to pay for it, but I will do it. So from that point, I spent 19 hours a day, right? Wow. 19 hours a day. And 18 months, I made $1 million, actually.
Oh, crazy,
bro. Before you even start about it, right? My ex was like, their family, like, my dad was like, you're already making good amount of money. Why you want to sell something? Like, my ex was like, my ex father and everybody comes out like, hey, I need to see the documentation. They were super scared that what I'm doing. I was like, okay, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to buy $100 worth of product, actually. Like, I bought it for like $70 something, bought a bottle and flipped it three packs together. I got it for 50 cents, 2 cents, not 50 cents, 10 cents or something each water bottle. Wow. And I made like a one brand, actually, my own brand, and sell it for an eBay first, actually. That I sold it for, I made like $1,000 out of it, just like put $100 something, bunch of giveaway stuff, actually. I made $1,000 out of it. That was a fun thing. It was started, actually. At one point of time, my ex doesn't even know, my partner doesn't even know that I was made $1 million, actually. I showed it, like, she was like, what the fuck did happen, actually? Yeah. So that was a long story and short, actually. It was a lot of resistance, man. It was crazy. Like, when you come from 9 to 5, one, you need to convince yourself that you can do this. Second, you need to convince yourself.
Imposter syndrome is so hard. It happened to me when I exit my job. I was also convincing myself, man, this whatever you're doing, it's actually not a way of living. You're scamming yourself. You cannot have a living as a seller and all of that. It's crazy. Your mind really plays with you. Yeah.
I was super smart of doing that. So what I did is basically, when I was in the job, I was making $1 million, actually. Right? So nobody knows about it. So I employed my partner into the business at that point in 2016, right? She met an accident, and then I was asked to come down, join the business. And after that, I took a FMLA leave for 6 months. I told them that I'm not going to be able to come. I have to go to India. I went to India to reduce expense. One, two, live under my dad's house, actually, completely for the 6 months.
No expenses.
No expense at all. So making sure that I can able to double or triple, actually, my business, actually. But we literally doubled the business during the time period. And what happened is basically, and then I left, and then I told them I'm not coming back. Or can you give me another 6 months FMLA? Actually, they said they cannot do that. That was a funny start, and that was a funny, and I quit, and then I think that's pretty good, actually. That's what.
Yeah, and you know, at the end of the day, because, you know, I interview a lot of people, and whenever I always go back to the foundation of what made them entrepreneurs, it's always, you know, that trauma. Like, you right there define the trauma of that pain, that suffering, and those are things that create a character in people that is the fuel. Like, you know, those days that you wake up, it's a rainy day, you feel down, business is not going well. You remember that moment, man? It's like you have 10,000 Red Bulls in your mind and you go all in, right?
Bro, so, I mean, I know how many nights, day and night, like I was like not able to sleep. The scar what is built on me, which is like deep, deep wound, what I got into myself. The pain of it is not the pain of taking action, it's lesser than the pain of what I created actually for myself. The inner pain is much bigger than a physical pain what I had. You know, it makes me at that point, I don't have any kind of bigger awareness of what I have right now. So then I was struggling in terms of like a traumatizing in terms of like, you know what? I cannot move forward. I cannot move backward. I'm not a person who would like to move backward. It does. So one of my biggest personalities, like it doesn't matter what happened. I will keep trying until I make it there. Actually, that's of the trade that I got out of my car. Other than I studied engineering, it doesn't matter what I studied. That's not helped me at all. What has helped me at this point is like never, ever give up attitude. And think about the entrepreneurial traits, right? We always insecure personality. We never settle for less. We always want more. We never think that we already there. You know,
exactly.
I can feel every single thing. I always been like a understanding the pain. Like I always have like a fear of losing, actually. A fear of not able to make it, actually. It's all same, actually. You understand? Same.
I know. And I think at the end of the day, yeah, something actually I want to add, which is also a very important thing when it comes to being an entrepreneur, is first of all, the fear. I have that fear every single day, like, you know, the fear that, you know, I don't know if I'm going to make it here and there and all of that. But the second thing that I feel is super important is what you mentioned about the fact that, you know, we always want more to the fact that we don't want to settle for less. And I like that sentence because I feel that one of the reasons we go through that trauma, make the jump, is because on a 9-to-5, unfortunately, you reach a ceiling in terms of money, in terms of time, in terms of your location. And when you realize that life can actually be more than that, is when you get into this addiction mode that once you experience the entrepreneurship lifestyle, you never want to go back to having that prison kind of around you. So, you know,
it is all about, for me right now, I come to a realization, I mean, somewhere that I don't know where I got this information, like the human emotions are gifted by God. It's not given to all the creatures, all the creatures what is in the world. It's not gifted by this. We evolved so far actually out of this emotion. It's gifted to feel, not to suffer.
Exactly.
Bro, I mean, like, the once I learned this, like, that's a basic trick of our life, what everybody should know about it. I feel all the good, it doesn't matter, positive or negative emotion, just feel it. You don't have to suffer out of your emotion. You don't have to traumatize, but feel, observe, and still do it. That's what they say. I posted something. You feel the fear, but still do it.
Yeah, love that. Now, let's start diverting into the product launch side of things, because I'm making an assumption here, maybe you can confirm this, but I'm sure that one of the things that made you an expert is because at the same time you made a lot of mistakes when launching products, because you did a lot of trial and error, things didn't work out, you lost a ton of money, and that kind of basically obstacles that you went throughout your journey as a seller basically created that foundation in your mind that these things work, this thing doesn't work, and then you made your connecting the points and came up with your methodology that you implement right now. So tell us a little bit, let's start with the foundation of product launch. I think some of the things most likely people want to hear on this episode is what are the things that are working in 2024, because we all know product launch has been having a very dynamic behavior in terms of what things that work and things that don't work. Like, we come from all the space of ManyChat, the rebates, external traffic, Google Ads, so many things that people, you know, been playing around when it comes to launch. So what in 2024 you think are some of the key things that people should be doing when it comes to product launch?
So it's again going back to the basics, actually, which is like, it is all about, okay, first of all, it is not a product launch anymore. Mm-hmm. You're not taking the product, running the traffic, and then trying to rank keywords, actually. It is a keyword launch.
Hmm.
You define the keywords and then you launch the product with that keyword, actually. And the product launch start with before even you select the product. The product launch start with when you're doing the selection of the product. You should understand what is product launch means, which is like how many keywords you can define for this product. If you don't have like a more than 30 keywords, you are in a wrong niche. If you cannot directly talk about this bar, this drink, and you are in a wrong niche, and it that means somebody is dominating the niche, you're trying to go in there and trying to take over the sales, that's not going to happen. You're going to spend a lot of money on that one. So you need to have like a solid data. Okay, I have 30,000 search volume for this product, which can make, if it's 30,000 search volume, it can make minimum like 30 to 40 sales actually, right? If it's 30,000 search volume. So 30,000 search volume, there are like a five market person there, actually five competitors there. And I can able to come up with like a, this much of micro and macro level of innovation. I'm coming into the market with that. So my product optimization is right. My images are really great. And then, okay, this is how I can differentiate with the pros and cons, what I select. That's the pre-game of the launch, actually, right?
Okay.
So when it comes to a launch, then at that point, you have the real product and keep testing your images. That's the first thing. That is for click-through rate, actually, completely. And then conversion is like, you're basically like how you able to, with the reviews, with your, with all the content and images of your product, you will convert inside that thing. So basically, you need to be like a better click-through rate, better conversion than your competitor. That is what's the basic thing.
That's the game.
It works every single time. That's a basic, actually. On top of it, when you talk about 2024, you have data right now. In 2027, you don't have no data. 2015, nothing there.
You didn't have brand analytics. You have none of that. Yeah,
you have nothing actually. You don't even have like some of the tool data dive. You don't have the tool like a Helium 10 or nothing available at the time actually, right? No. So right now you have data. So Amazon is like a closed system. Everything is like everything is gonna be happening around that Amazon inside the system. The system actually. So use the data to find out what kind of keywords you're going to launch actually. Basically like, what are the keywords it's going to drive you a bigger traffic? That when you talk, we talk about when it comes to a product launch, we divide into keywords in multiple phases. So we call this like a browse keyword and a purchase keyword, right? The bunch of purchase keywords has like a browse keyword completely, right? The browse keyword is nothing but a very high click-through rate and a low conversion. When it comes to a purchase keyword, you have a click-through rate, good, decent amount of click-through rate, and a higher purchase rate, actually, higher conversion, basically, right? You find those keywords and making sure that you are like getting into a groups, actually, phase one, phase two, phase three, and make sure that you focus on that. What we found is recently is when you focus on the purchase keywords, your browse keyword automatically comes on the top. You don't even have to focus on the browse keyword. So when we're launching the product, we don't focus on the browse keyword. We focus on the purchase keyword first, which is like a 7 to 10 keywords. And then it's automatically push our browse keywords to below 10 positions, actually. That's how we know we're doing something right.
Interesting. Now, a quick question here, because I'm sure people might be wondering this, and that's very interesting, the search keyword and the purchase keywords. Is like in the foundational definition of this in terms of KPIs, like how you recommend people actually figure out what are these keywords, because I'm sure people understand the concept what you say, like a high conversion, low conversion, high traffic and low traffic, but from the perception of using a software, like what you should be doing, like analyzing your 10 competitors, reverse engineering, like what is usually a high level SOP you will follow
so basically if you take a look at it, any kind of sales, the 30 to 40% of sales come from a PPC, actually. So anytime that you want to take the sales, you ignore 30% actually. So rest of the 50, 40 to 60% that super differentiate based on the category, those are come from organic perspective of it, actually, right? Yeah. So what do we do basically, right? We have our own sheet, actually. That we have our own tool, actually, basically. You can use DataDive for that. So put up like a 10 competitor, add that one in a competitor, find out the lowest sale somebody who's doing like 500 to like, let's say 1,000 sales, actually, they're doing it, lowest one. So if you take 40%, 600 sales, he has like a 400, 500 reviews, actually. That means, and also you check the entry point of that on that category, which is like somebody is like a new coming in and making 300-400 sales. That means that is a minimum entry what you need to have for review for that particular category, particular niche. So when you take this 1,000 sales, so you check how many keywords he ranked for. How many keywords he ranked for. So take those keywords. For example, let's say that they rank for like 10 keywords complete or 20 keywords he ranked for it, right? Mm-hmm. Take those 10 keywords, find out what is the browse keyword and the purchase keyword, divide it into different groups actually completely. So if you rank for this, let's say 10 keywords, the 10 keywords has like a two phases of launch actually, which is like a one browse keyword, two browse keywords and like a 10 or 7 purchase keyword actually. That means if you launch, two phase of launch you do it, you will able to make a 20 sales to 30 sales for that product actually. That is a minimum given what we're going to take. And after that, we can go into like a bigger competitor. Okay, what are you doing actually? What are the keywords he focusing on? So there's a one thing I have to recommend here, everyone who is listening here. When you choose for a phase one, phase two keyword, make sure your image is optimized based for the keyword. For example, you taking a product for a beach product, actually, beach water bottle. So make sure that your image is included, like, so a water bottle, if it's like a water bottle product and it's also used for beach, the higher search volume, there are 30,000 search volume come from the browse purchase keyword, which is like a beach related keyword. So make sure use that one in your image optimization properly, actually. So why? Because Amazon is not taking a data just from your keyword, and it's also taking data from your images right now. So you need to include that one so that you build the relevancy on top of it.
Yeah, that one, the last one is super important. And I know this is a conversation we've been hearing a lot lately about how images now actually to some extent also index, because they're using image processing, and depending on what you're using the image, that creates correlation. So that's a great tip right there. But going back a little bit to, so we can conclude on the search and purchase keywords. So from your experience, usually once you define these keywords and then you go from phase one and phase two, how long usually these phases last? Because I guess this is also going to be dependent on the sales velocity and all of that, right?
No, if it's an old product, it's going to take like a 10 to 15 days, 7 to 10, 15 days. If it's a new product, it's 3 to 7 days actually.
Wow. Okay.
Pretty fast. That is a typical launch. If it's not ranking in a 3 days, if you don't see the momentum in a 3 days, there is something wrong actually. You're not building enough relevancy for your keyword. You have not solidly. So that's how our launch process works. Our launch process is nothing different from anybody actually. We are the smart way to analyze the data. And we already found like hundreds of launches. What we did, we were able to tell there is something problem in the listing. Actually, there is something problem in this product. So we can able to stop that. Instead of spending $3,000 to $5,000 or $20,000, we stop it, spending like a $500. Okay, done. We stop, analyze what's happening, and take the different route. Actually, the one other product what we did recently, which is like it's like a high value product, which is like $120 product. Mm-hmm. Three weeks, we didn't rank. Not 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks, we didn't rank at all. But we were seeing a small momentum happening. Like keywords are like play really well, like a very small. But in terms of like a brand analytics, search query performance, but we are like acquiring a lot of keywords actually in the search query performance and also in the brand analytics. And we see, okay, we got to give like a different approach. So what we did is basically, we said, we tell the brand saying that we're going to infuse like a $50 to $100 budget every single day until for a highly converted keywords, until we hit the best deals, actually, our lightning deals. So what happened in the third week, we got the best deals and lightning deals, actually. So hit the best deals. And after that, we started complete a whole launch actually in a week, man. All the keywords are freaking on the top actually in a week. I'm talking about like it's not like a one-way street. So there are keywords, see, we call this like a C1 to C5 keyword, complexity 1 to complexity 5 keyword. So how do we basically define this? It's like some keywords, you just have to get a clicks. Like then you can able to rank the keywords. Some keywords, you need to get a PPC run, actually. Some keyword, you need to get like a add to carts needs to be added for that keyword, actually. Some keyword, you need to be add a purchase plus a PPC plus clicks. You need to be added. Some keywords, you need to have a social signal to get that one. Some keywords, you need to have like a Google sales to get that sale. Some keywords, you need to get the traffic from TikTok to get ranked, actually, right? So you need to understand what level of your niche you're playing with. You cannot like keep going in this direction. I did everything.
And copy paste the same process. Yeah, to all the keywords. Yeah, it depends. I'm
done. You need to go deeper inside. Like, okay, what level of my keyword? What level of I need to go through this to making sure I'm not giving up on this? And I know that one. If the data tells me something, I process it. Every 3 days, you can change your strategies. Every 3 days, you apply different things and see that what's working. 24, 48 hours is enough to see the results.
Cool.
If you continuously hit the brand analytics for 24 to 48 hours, you will see the result.
Because most people wait a week, 2 weeks, and by then it's too late. Yeah, to make a decision.
You're wasting your time, literally. So the best thing is like understand the data properly. Because you have it's available. Take advantage of the data.
Yeah, and you mentioned there's something interesting, which is the type of keywords. So just to quickly pinpoint on that. So do you have some methodology that sellers can implement to essentially identify this? It's like, does it come 100%. From split testing or how do you identify it?
No. So everybody was like, if it's a short, it's like a browse keyword. If it's long, it's a purchase keyword. No, that's completely wrong, actually. So I would say go to the brand analytics, add all the click percentage. If the click percentage is like a higher, the conversion percentage, it's below 15%, which is called a browse keyword. If the conversion percentage, it's above 15%, which is like that's a purchase keyword. But there is a catch on this. But some of the niche works differently. I'm talking about, this is like a regular niche. If you have a more design aspect of it.
Yeah, they do a lot of window shopping, jumping around.
If you have the product, which is like a shoes, or clothing, or different colors, or different design, people like to have a different design aspect of it. Then it's dilute more. You have to be like go like a 5%. If you are above 5%, it's a conversion keyword. If it's like a below 5, so you can average it out based on your keywords. Download all the brand analytics for the keyword that your competitor acquired, top competitor acquired. Go and then take the average value actually. So combine all the things, take the average value. Then you can check. What is the average clicks and what is the click-through rate? What is the average conversion rate? Anything above, anything below, that's how the shift is. Conversion, like a purchase and a browse keyword, actually. Mm-hmm.
Good. And now you mentioned there another thing, which is interesting, which is sometimes you figure out, the launch is not working. And of course, you have to do some troubleshooting there. From the perspective of troubleshooting, do you have some specific, like, the top two or three things a seller should check when a ranking is not working? This could be from the perspective of maybe not having the right category things to do in the back end. What are some of the things that if the launch is not working, those are the first thing you check? So people
can also. There are a couple of things recently happened based on the Amazon AI talks, actually, right? One primary thing is what we faced is, okay, assume that you put up your, you created the listing, you waited for your stock actually and to activate your listing, right? During this period of time, right? When the stock arrived, you change your title and go live completely. What happened is when I change the title, the Amazon algorithm automatically update your browse tree guide, browse node. And also it changed but if they update only the browse node, but they didn't change the item type and product type. And they didn't change the GL actually. So what happened is basically we identify that one. First time we identify it, because we have that, what I'm talking about, like 250 point, 300 point checkpoint for your listing. So we do that every day in terms of like launch process completely. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we don't want anything to change the listing. The change, only thing needs to be happen is like a ranking. Nothing else should change. Until otherwise, I change it, right? So what we found out is when we're doing it, when we make the live, the Amazon updated this, the browse node and also the product type. They didn't change the item type. So because of that, what happened is your launch is not going to go good actually at that point. If you have the mismatch for it, your launch will not go good. You need to be make sure your browse node and category and product type and item type and geo and DOW, which is like a display on website, needs to be in matching element actually. If that's not mm-hmm. happening, your key, some of the keyword you will not able to rank at all. So so you need to be make sure anytime you launch the product or anytime you activate the listing, make sure that these are aligned. These are not changed at any point of time. If okay. if a keyword was not ranked, this one of this element must happen actually. Either this one or you're not targeting the right keyword. You're not targeting the highly converted keyword, which you should be targeting at the first phase of the launch. Don't focus on the browse keywords. Why? Because it's going to take up all your bid. If you have like $100,000 for your launch budget, yeah, go ahead for it. But if you have like $10,000 for your launch budget, just make sure hit on the highly converted keyword. And after that, focus on the browse keywords, focus on the phase two keywords. Our goal is to make a minimum sales as soon as possible. And after that, build the momentum and go behind it. So the checkpoint is basically browse nodes, product type and item type, GL, DOWs, and make sure you choose the right keyword in terms of like what is highly converted keywords, which is like a purchase keyword, and make sure that you have like a one group of keyword you're focusing at the same time. Those are the checkpoint I would have actually.
Cool. That's very cool. Yeah, they didn't know about that. So that's a very cool tip. I'm going to make sure I start checking those.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I have like a lot of content about this in my TikTok and also in my Facebook. You will have like a lot of resources to go through and then check it out. Awesome. What exactly you need to do actually.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm going to make sure to then put it down in the description so people can find it. And now to start concluding, let's say we do all this perfect. We get a pros position. We are there killing it on page one. The reality is that I feel when it comes to pro launch, this is something that has to be maintained, right? You need to maintain the position and do some kind of maintenance, because otherwise you can start drifting towards down, right, in terms of position. So let's talk high level. Like, what are some of those things you do to maintain that position?
Sure. The keyword launch will fall down for a couple of reasons actually. You don't have the supportive keywords. For example, again, I go back again in terms of like you choose a bunch of browse keywords, ranked it on the top, and then on third day, fourth day, fifth day, you automatically drop because there is no solid support for that keyword you're not giving. So it's my experience, my understanding, my test beliefs actually. I don't know anything about how others are dealing with this basically. So my understanding, my test cases, like when I build that system, when you don't, so let's say that garlic press, actually, when you take garlic press, if your product is stainless steel garlic press, actually, if you don't focus on stainless steel garlic press first, and then you focus on garlic press alone, your product will fall down, your keyword will fall down super bad because you don't take care of the underlying keyword, actually.
The foundation, the actual niche where the product should belong to. Yeah,
exactly. So in the other side, when you like take care of your foundation keyword, you don't have to focus on the browse keyword at all. It's automatic.
They come by itself.
You don't even have to worry about it. So this is where people goes wrong. I have products like goes down, but it's not like crazy like that. I never
it's
seen
few,
my product.
Few placements. Yeah.
Yeah. As long as I build up my purchase keywords very well for that particular browse keywords, those keywords will like, you know, go around, but it won't like go drastically down actually like that. The point is just make sure you're keeping your purchase keyword right and then a browse keyword right actually. Then you can maintain it. So Amazon has a geo ranking process actually. Right. The second thing is like you need to make sure you have all the inventories. You have the inventories for a major location, actually. If you don't have the product for a major location, you will lose ranking. Actually, it doesn't matter what you do, you will lose ranking. Why? Because they're not going to send you 2-day shipping, and they may not be able to optimize your shipping process and very well. So you will lose your ranking on that location. But assume that if you are in California, it's like a top location for you. You don't have the products there. Like you're losing the sales and your keyword ranking goes down actually, ultimately.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So make sure your location has like all the top location has enough inventory, right? That's the second thing that I would focus on. The third thing is like, stop focusing on keyword ranking. So once your product was ranked and once you maintain for some time, focus on keyword acquisition in your brand analytics and the search query performance data. As long as you are in like a top three and top 10 on your keywords, you will automatically sustain. At any point of time in the back end, like a brand analytics or search query performance is down, you're hitting yourself down. So exactly. The record is basically the checkpoint KPI is basically not keyword ranking. The KPI is like, am I acquiring enough clicks actually? Am I hitting on enough conversion actually on this particular keyword? If that's not happening, you're going down actually. So how we can compensate that basically? Let's say that you found the keyword was like going down, increase a bid, increase a new campaign for that one. This will take 48 hours for you to come down. And between the 48 hours, if you found it like, you know, one day before, you can able to identify, okay, I'm not converting here. If I'm not converting tomorrow as well, then I will go down actually. So that's a solid proof. So go on and check it out, find out, and then update that information. You automatically like able to be keep and maintain the same thing actually there. You need to substitute for 3 to 4 months of time this work actually. Well, because it's required to be like, why? Because the guys who you're beating up, those guys are lost there for long, actually, completely.
Exactly.
So they have built so much history. Why? Because this is also good and bad. They build a bad history as well for certain keywords. They also build a good history for certain keywords. So that's what I say. It is not a product launch. It's a keyword launch. You build a good history and you build a better ranking, actually. You build a better relevancy and you build a better ranking. That's all that matters, actually, at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's a perfect way of closing it. I think what you said there is super important in the sense that you have to write the history of your product. That's essentially the what we're trying to get here. Like, your product has no history in the platform. You have to basically make in Amazon eyes that your product is basically the new winner, the new guy that came into the blog and now is actually, you know, killing it in terms of conversions. And you need to give all these signals. And that's the whole exercise. Give signal to the point that Amazon say, actually, it's this old guy that's been here for a while is not performing to the same rate. And that's where you go up. That's it.
That's another thing, right? We have done a launches. We literally like tripled from some of the relaunch what we did from zero to like from 10 sales to like 60, 100 sales actually right now. What we're doing, basically following the same principles. It's not like you don't stop the launch on the launch process. You have like a growth maintenance and you have like ongoing maintenance, ongoing growth phase there actually. But because you launch only like a 2 or 3 phases and then to get like a minimum sales, you're done after that. But don't stop there. Keep investing that money or take the profit, invest on the growth phase actually. So take more keywords actually. When you take the more keywords, launch like do like a mini launches, but maintain the product of existing keywords actually, right? Yep. Take the new keyword every week or every 2 weeks, take a new keyword and keep launching it. And once you know, like horizontally, if you grow and then go vertically actually, what kind of people buy this product before they're purchasing this product? What the other product they purchase it. So you go and then like target those keywords, actually target those products. So if you do this one in a proper way, like, you know, it's nothing is like, I wouldn't say that I never had a failure, but we can know how to medicate the failure. That's the most important thing. So you learn from the failure and then find out, okay, this is not going to work anymore. So we shouldn't be doing this. Like, and then like cut that one and then go my way.
Reason to repeat. That's it.
Yeah, cut it and go something new. Actually, come. So think about it. ManyChat. We are the one early to go into ManyChat. I built my ManyChat from 0 to 60,000 members completely, like for a pennies actually what we got. And then before the people once they started talking everywhere widely talking about ManyChat, it's done. So we came out of it. Take it to the SMS completely. Everybody went to the SMS and the emails. So we started using the emails. We started using the SMS part of it. So you need to keep innovate. Either be like a micro or macro level. Keep moving forward in your launch and stay top of your game. If you don't know that what you're doing, I mean, that's the worst thing I found, man. I'm like, people, I did this one like 4 years ago. I took a loan. I thought I'm doing pretty good. One product was doing amazing. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to double this up completely. I'm going to go crazy on this product. But I don't know how I got success, actually, first of all. If I don't know how to measure the success, And then I'm trying to create the success.
You cannot replicate it.
I'm trying to replicate that. That's the bad shit happened to me, man. I lost $300,000 actually out of that loan. What I got is completely lost out of like trial and error, out of testing it. But the good thing is like we started learning it actually. One point of time I was like, oh, we're doing something wrong. So we started learning it. And that's this is me actually right now, like completely understand how the algorithm works. And then I'm completely able to say, what is wrong? I mean, I get clients, I get like brands who comes like, okay, can you launch this product? No, I cannot. Why? Because you have a go-to product. You have a go-to product. We can rank and you're competing on the pricing, but you want like a premium pricing. You want to charge for it. You're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
You're not going to go anywhere.
That's great. Bro, thank you so much. I mean, you share so much wisdom, so I appreciate that. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show. I'm sure I'm going to have you many more times because this pro launch thing, let's be honest, is something that's always evolving. And I'm sure, you know, 2025, 26, things are going to keep evolving. And I can't wait to see with all the strategies you come up with, bro. So to conclude, because I'm sure a lot of people might be wondering, man, I really want to work with Colin. He knows his stuff. I want him to launch my products. So how do I get in contact with him? So share with us how people can reach out and basically ask you any questions when it comes to Pro Launch.
Sure, you can reach out to me in my email. I don't have the website yet, actually. I'm still like in Facebook. Facebook is my website, actually. So I have like a lot of friends and family there completely. So that's where you can reach out to me, Colin.Raja. That's where my Instagram and Facebook and also my YouTube and also my TikTok. I'm providing a lot of content related to this problem because I've seen people are suffering out of this issue completely like crazy. And also you can reach out to me in the email. I can able to put it up, colincomments@gmail.com. You can reach out to me if you have any questions. And if you guys want to have like a, if you're going through any kind of launch or if you're having a problem with the relaunch, if you want me to be audited, send me the link. I'm happy to give you the free audit for you guys anytime.
Awesome, bro. So I appreciate that. I wish you an amazing week ahead and let's keep in touch, bro. It's been a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The E-Commerce Lab by Ecomsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.